Only at True North stores. New True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Welcome back. Mike Max sitting in 3 to 6 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Paul and Jor have the day off. Tomorrow, Twins baseball right here, 6:40. First pitch, 6 o'clock, the pregame. The New York Yankees come to town. Should be good. I know a guy that likes baseball because he played a lot of baseball in his day. So did his father. Every year, for a while, his father would have this big game in Fairfax. Kurt Sampson, when he'd pitch a few innings till into his late 70s before we lost him, and they'd get these huge crowds in Fairfax. And Harmon Killebrew came out 1 year, and Sid Hartman came out 1 year and signed his book, and the Steinbachs played, and Corey Koski played, and it was something. And Randy Sampson was a part of it from Canterbury Park and beyond. He joins us now. Randy, thank you for joining us today.
My pleasure, Mike. Thanks for having me on. All you do is work.
All I do is work. You're right. I'll just say it. What am I going to do when I don't have work anymore? You're probably built the same way a little bit, aren't you?
Yeah. I don't know what I'll do either, but hopefully someday hopefully we won't retire. Stay busy, stay active, yeah.
But we will sit on a porch one day and we'll tell Dark Star stories. We will do that.
Yes, that is for sure.
Yeah, 10-year anniversary of his death last week. Yeah.
He made the trip out to Fairfax a number of times. But that was, I loved Patrick Royce's article 10 years later. Some memories of the dark man.
Boy, I tell you, I just when he wrote that article, I just remember the text as I looked down at the text and said, Dark is dead. And I just, I couldn't believe it. And did somebody call you at that time, Randy? Do you remember?
Yeah, I do. It was interesting, Mike, because we were down at the we were actually at Mystic Lake. We were just leaving. We had been in a meeting, and phones were, Jeff Madej was with me, of course, a good friend of Dark's from the press box, and we were there talking about the signing of the agreement.
Yeah,
and
the new partnership, right?
About how. Yeah, the agreement for the purses and which is, we're 10 years in, has been great for racing. And interestingly, one of the, and our phones were blowing up with text, but one of the interesting things we're talking about is, so do we let Dark get the scoop on this? He'll be mad if he doesn't get the scoop. And then we come out and Jeff quick called, returned a call from a text. And I remember his face just going completely blank. Mm-hmm. And then he looked at us and said, Dark died. That's how we found out. But,
Yeah, and for people that don't recall, it wasn't like he was in a hospital or hospice. He just had a massive heart attack. So even, he was not in great shape, to be sure, but no one anticipates that day.
No, but, and you were there for the, J.D. Hoyt's Last Supper.
Oh, yeah. The Last Supper, yeah. Yeah, I mean, I'll never get over that, Randy, that he decided to have a group of people out of the blue, and this happened a week before his death. He decided that we should have a dinner for friends that had been good to us. And Ian Stark and I did the sports show together as partners, business partners in it. And so he said, let's invite all the people that, you know, have helped us, and then some other people different ways. And he put this group together, this eclectic group, to J.D. Hoyt's. And I thought, that's, you know, nice gesture. And we went over there, Pat Monahue, and had this great dinner. And people just, there was no reason for it except people just sat and talked. And a week later, he was gone. Now, you tell me. I don't know if he knew something was coming, but that is a little fateful, isn't it?
Unbelievable. And I will always remember it because I passed, and I will always regret not joining for that evening with all of the people who he invited, all of the people he was close to and friends with. And you know, like you said, I don't think he knew it was coming, but the coincidence of him saying, I want to get all my friends together and buy him dinner, or actually let somebody else buy him dinner, maybe, as the case may be with Dark.
Well, you know, the other interesting side note to that, and I'll tell you two quick side notes. That one was that Sid Hartman was there. He and Sid had a terrible blow up on the show a week previous to that, and not that they ever were going to be best friends, but it was at least there was a reconciliation, as there had to be from time to time with those two. The other part was, to your point, Randy, I was doing my radio show, and I was not planning on going over there, because the radio show was going to end at 9 o'clock, and I thought it'll be over. And Dark called at like 8:30 and said, please make sure you stop by and come over. There's still people here. So, okay, I'll go over there. And I went over there. And if he hadn't called, I probably would have passed as well, because I thought, well, you know, by the time I get there, there's going to be nobody left except the janitor. And I don't know. People can believe what they want to believe, but that was a strange connection, you know?
Yeah, there is some karma in that situation.
Can you stay on with us for a quick break? Because the reason I want to talk to you is about Canterbury Park starting out and how,
sure,
things are going,
yep,
with the horses.
Yep.
And it was nice to get sidetracked, pardon the pun. But I want to bring Randy Sampson back and talk about the economy of coming out of a pandemic if you run a racetrack. And we will do that on the other side. Stay with us. Mike Max sitting in 3-6 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Mike Max sitting in the hot seat. Afternoon Drive on WCCO. Randy Sampson runs Canterbury Park. We're talking about all things Canterbury Park. We talked about Dark Star in the first segment. We transition into his, Dark's favorite season, the racing season. Kicked off with bulldog racing, camels and ostriches, extreme racing still to come. How funny and popular are those?
Well, funny would be a term that depend on taste, but they are very popular. I will say, the first time I saw it, John Hardy, our marketing guy, was wanting to do it. I was in Arizona, and they actually did it there, and, you know, the gates opened, and the ostriches, you know, a couple of the guys fell off, and I came back and said, I don't know, John, this looks like something that maybe you can fool the public once, but you know, we'll see.
Yeah.
And now, probably 20 years later, it's still one of our biggest events of the year. Camels, ostriches, and zebras. The people love the dog races. Had a beautiful day Sunday and a nice crowd for the running of the bulldogs. And
yeah, that was yesterday.
Obviously,
yeah.
We tried to find as many, especially on Sundays, try to create a fun family atmosphere, and it's been very successful over the years. The meet's off to a great start, so I'm happy to be here and get a chance to talk about it, because it is exciting this time of year, getting going with the race meet and seeing the horses show up, and some new trainers, some new jockeys, and we had some very competitive racing to this point.
Randy, the economy flows obviously different ways, and COVID hits us and it changes everything. And now we're into, I guess, an inflation and fuel costs high. At least interest rates are high. We may be heading into inflation. At least it looks like that. How does economy affect the racetrack? Does it matter if it's a good economy or bad economy? Are your numbers the same? Does it change a lot?
It's hard to, it's really hard to tie. In the years where we've had a, you know, significant economic downturn, it did have an impact. I do know that, you know, there's some direct correlation with fuel prices, because a lot of our customers, you know, are regulars and drive, you know, but they drive half hour or hour to get there to come to the races or to play cards. So when gas costs double what it did a couple, a year or two ago, you know, it's a big, it is a concern, but so far, you know, we're not seeing a, you know, an impact yet. We are, you know, we're racing a different schedule. We, with COVID, we started racing on the weekdays, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, because we couldn't have a crowd anyway. And we found out that the out-of-state handle was really good, you know, which was something we expected. And that's why we went to the weekdays. And then last year we dropped Monday and switched to Sunday to try to get back to our family day and get some crowd out there. And that worked well. Our out-of-state handle stayed strong, and we got, you know, good crowd, decent crowds, you know, for post-COVID, right, or, you know, COVID still going on maybe. But, and now this year we've shifted again to drop Tuesday, and so now we're racing Wednesday, Thursday, and been getting really good out-of-state handle. And then we're racing Saturday evening and Sunday afternoon, and the crowds have been very good. So, it, you know, I do think, you know, in spite of concerns about the economy right now, people want to get out. They want to have a good time. You know, outdoor entertainment is great when the weather's nice. And so we really are, you know, it's just so great, Mike, to, after 2 years of, you know, crowd limits and everybody wearing masks and all just the weird stuff, to just see people out having fun, you know, big crowds for, you know, racing on Memorial Day weekend and again yesterday. And, you know, it's just so fun to see life getting back to normal and people having fun. And, you know, you just tell people just want to get out and try to get back to their normal life.
Randy, I've never asked you this before. I guess I've thought about it, but never, I don't know if you have numbers on it. Let's say 5,000 people come to the track. How many of those 5,000 place a bet? And are there many people that come out there just to watch for pure entertainment that don't ever participate in wagering?
At Canterbury, I would say the answer is a lot more than most tracks as far as people that just come for fun. They're going to watch the races and cheer. You know, I would say the majority of the crowd, we really don't have a way of directly tracking it, but certainly the majority of the crowd has a, you know, wager on it, even if it's dad making a $2 bet for the kids or whatever. But yeah, there are definitely a lot. We do have a very low per capita wagering compared to other tracks, which isn't a bad thing, because what it means is we're getting new people out there and people that are, you know, trying to, you know, just coming out for a good time. And we definitely have that crowd of, you know, people that just want to have a beer and watch the races and, you know, cheer for their favorite horse.
How many?
They're by the name or the color or whatever.
Whatever it is, they just want to cheer for something, right?
Yeah.
Now, how many people come up to you and during the course of a year, a week, whatever, and say, you know, Randy, I've been coming every year since you guys bought or opened, or since the track opened. Do you have a lot of people like that?
Yeah, actually, we do, and it is one of the, you know, it's one of the really cool things to me about the, you know, what we've been able to do over the years at Canterbury and reopen the track, because how many people come up and say, thank you, you and your dad and Dale Shenyan, you know, bringing racing back. We just love the horses, love racing, and, you know, we're so glad you did this. I come all the time, and it really is gratifying. I just had a young man the other day come up to me and say, you know, I worked here 20 years ago and loved working here, learned so much about, you know, life and business and, you know, how to get along with people. And, you know, I always look back at my years at Canterbury and think that you helped me in my career. And I said, wow, thanks. That's really, you know, love to hear things like that.
Last question. Do you have any shortage of workers now like so many do? Have you had to fight that at all, or how's that been?
Yeah, we are. It is a struggle. We are better this year than last year. I'm not really sure why, but things are coming back. We have certain areas that are always hard, you know, that have gotten hard. I shouldn't say always, because it used to be we had plenty of mutual tellers, plenty of security people, and, you know, some of those areas have been harder to fill. But so, yes, the answer is we're always concerned about whether we can adequately staff when we get the big crowds. And, you know, it is the same in the hospitality industry everywhere. But it does seem to be getting better. That's the good news. There's more of the young kids. You know, I think probably with COVID, a lot of the parents really didn't even want their kids working, you know, at a concession stand or mutuals. Mm-hmm. And, you know, over the last couple of years, and now we're seeing them come back, and, you know, a lot of our longtime employees come back. So we're doing better this year.
Well, you're always doing well because you run it, and we appreciate it very much. Always good to visit with you, Randy. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, thanks, Mike. I appreciate it. Have a good evening.
You too. Randy Sampson, one of the good guys out there at the track. I was thinking about it. I was at Bruce Helmer's place the other day, and Bruce and Randy were one-time neighbors and friends, and I thought, God, those two are kind of cut from the same cloth, you know? Basic, conservative, good Minnesota guys that just want to do the right thing every day, and they don't want to get too caught up in the fancy part of it. They just want to kind of be fundamentally sound and make the world a better place, you know? And then Bruce bought into that Chan Hassen Dinner Theater, and we were at Brandisi's the other night for dinner, and it was really good. And I always think of Bruce when I'm seeing you out there. David, have you seen, I don't want to ruin this, but I did get to Top Gun, Maverick Top Gun, whatever yep. It's called. I did get to it this weekend.
Okay.
And I don't like to say much about movies. Cause I like everybody to, you know, decide for themselves and not ruin it. Have you seen it?
Mike Max, I have two kids under the age of four.
So, understood. Say no more.
No, I have not.
Did you see the original?
Yes, of course I've seen Top Gun. You know, it's been a while. It's been a decade probably, but sure, I've seen the original.
It was on a lot leading up to the release.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
The second one. So, you know, just in the last few weeks, you could watch the original Top Gun a lot. I think that one almost, I'm as amazed by that because they did the same thing in terms of technologically with the cameras that they had to use mm-hmm. and the equipment that they had to use, much more cumbersome and technology in our business, meaning in the camera and the video business, when they did the original Top Gun, was much more provincial than it is today. And so I'm almost more amazed by the first version to think that they pulled that off when they needed, you know, more film. And more audio techs and more everything and more, you know, you didn't have drones and you didn't have access to all the things that you have today. I almost marvel more at that first one from that standpoint.
Yeah, I totally agree. And, technology has increased so much and we take for granted these amazing things they can do with film now. And it's, they do that on every movie. It's no big deal now.
Yeah. Yeah, but they can do it. And of course, to see Cruise there, and I brought this up with Tim Lammers last week when you were gone. Mm-hmm. You know, when it initially came out, of course, there were just so many people that saw in me Cruise, you know, kind of that, you know, that guy that was just out there. And I never flew a fighter plane, and I was never in the military, and I never never played volleyball with the guys. But other than that, you can see a lot of similarities, can't you?
Tons.
Yeah, that was my point.
What was the atmosphere like in the movie theater? As you know, a movie like that's one of the ones where you might get a few gasps or cheers or things like that.
My wife one time, she turned to me and she said, "God, shut up!" And I didn't even realize that I was reacting to the film, you know, because I was just reacting to it, you know.
Okay.
But it was sold out a lot of places, and
really?
And so we thought, well, we're never going to get in. And then we found, I think we went to Chanhassen to the movie theater, not the dinner theater.
Yeah.
And that had, you know, plenty of seating. So I think depending on the theater, I think it's been sold out a lot of places on the weekends. I like a good sold out theater. You know what you realize too, David, is much like radio. You need a blockbuster for other movies to survive.
Yes, for sure.
Because you forget, you know, that brings out the big crowd and the popcorn and the atmosphere. But now you're seeing the previews and you're looking at the posters that you would never see if it wasn't for that. And you realize kind of how the whole industry works. You have to have blockbusters.
That's right. That's right.
Yeah. We got a blockbuster coming up next. Mike Padham's going to join us to talk all things legal, and there's a lot of legal things to talk about, from Johnny Depp to these people that are suing Chauvin. Do they have a case? That and much more straight ahead. Mike Max in 3 to 6 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Welcome back. Mike Max sitting in 3 to 6 on News Talk 830 WCCO. Paul and Jor are off right now. Always wishing Jor the best as she goes through one of the ultimate challenges. And a bone marrow transplant is part of that right now. So we're with you, Jor, always, and your family. Never far from our prayers, for sure. Joining us on the John Schuster Caldwell Banker Hotline, Mike Padham, attorney extraordinaire. And I know he was on earlier today, but I said, he's so good, we got to get him on twice in the same day. That's pretty good, Mike. That's pretty good, especially for a basketball player, Mike, from Northern Illinois.
Mike Max, the man whose energy I wish I had.
I don't hear that often. Mike, let me ask you something before I get into the stuff I was going to ask you about. You know, we hear about this St. Louis Park and this pipe breaking, and it's happened twice. From an attorney standpoint, what rights do they have, and is the city completely culpable for all of it?
Yeah, can you give me a little background on that, Mike?
The pipe broke, and these homes flooded because of an archaic pipe in the city system. Then many people kind of got their stuff fixed again, and another pipe broke. They say because of aging and et cetera. I guess it doesn't matter why. It was a city service, right? So is the city completely culpable?
Yeah, potentially, but it's going to come down to experts, Mike. One of the things that will come up is how often are you supposed to inspect those pipes? Were the pipes beyond their normal age? So that's a case where they're going to have to – it's not so much lawyering up, it's experting up. You know what I mean?
Yep.
So It's really going to come down to experts. And, you know, a lot of times you might not have a case. It's not by any means certain. Just because something bad happens and there's damage doesn't always mean that there's going to be a viable case civilly. But the burden of proof in a civil case is different than criminal. It's a preponderance of the evidence. You just have to tip the scales ever so slightly. So it's not as significant a burden of proof as you have in criminal cases.
And wouldn't the city generally want to settle as quick as they can on something like that?
Yeah, potentially. Sure. It's just hard to know right now. I mean, sometimes they dig in their heels and fight. So, you know, we'll see. But I say it's really the plaintiffs are going to have to retain an expert or experts to address the legal issues. So,
okay, Johnny Depp and you know, his case gets settled, and what, he gets $13 million, she gets $3 million, whatever it is. So I know she writes him a check, and then he writes her a check back for three. I don't even know how that works. How does that happen when you get a split decision like that, where they're both entitled to money?
No, he's not going to be writing her any checks. It's going to act as an offset to his verdict, but I predict he's going to have a tough time collecting, Mike. But, you know, I have a pretty good idea of why she lost. Would you like to know my thoughts?
Yeah, I want to hear your theory, yeah.
You know, let me. I think this is what happened. I'm going to cut to the chase, Mike, and tell you what I think happened here. Do you remember the Menendez brother case back from 1989? Those two young men that killed their parents.
Yep.
They came up with this contention, and it was interesting because at the time I was doing business with a lawyer in Minneapolis who actually knew the old man, and he admitted that the guy was really an authoritarian, tough father, but the notion that he sexually assaulted his sons he thought was complete nonsense. Mm-hmm. And apart from what that man said to me, I felt the same way. I think that was a defense that was concocted in a lawyer's office. I'm really serious when I tell you that. I think they just made it up out of whole cloth to avoid their criminal culpability for murder. I got to tell you, I think Amber Heard, you know, she made this really significant accusation that he sexually assaulted her with a bottle. I won't get into the specifics of that because this is a family show. But I think the jury believed that she made that up out of whole cloth. And then if you have a situation where you're caught in a big lie, it's entirely possible that the fact finder won't believe anything you say
after that.
So, yeah. And The problem with it, I watched her entire cross-examination. I didn't see the whole trial, Mike, but I saw enough of it, I think, to competently comment on the case. There was really no evidence to corroborate that accusation. It was really, it was just, you know, she just kind of said it happened, and, you know, she was constantly writing letters to him, and if something like that happened, it's reasonable to assume she would have put in the letter, like, why did you do that to me, or whatever. So there really was really no evidence, and of course, there really was little evidence to corroborate physical abuse, and they really hammered her on cross-examination, as you can imagine, and she walked off of that witness stand mortally wounded, you know.
Well, why would an attorney counsel her to say, play that card if that's the way it's going to play out?
I'm not saying that an attorney counseled her to do that, but I think she made a conscious decision to up the ante. And maybe she did it because she was angry that she was sued. Who knows? But I really think it was made up. Now, whether she did that on her own or whether it was something that was conspiratorial, I'm pretty confident that that's what happened. And, you know, I could be wrong, but I think it was just made up. And I think that's what really, really hurt her. She didn't need that. She could have won the case without that, you know.
I know you did this once today, but explain in the Chauvin trial, having it moved to 2023 for a couple of the police officers that are still involved. First of all, explain, you know, we thought they had been tried. We thought that this had some kind of a conclusion. And now they say, well, no, there's the federal and there's the this and that. What's going on here and what happens and why is this significant?
They were tried in federal court, Mike, for violation of civil rights under federal law. The criminal case that's pending in state court is aiding and abetting second-degree murder, and the second count is aiding and abetting manslaughter directly related to the death of the victim, George Floyd. Lane has settled, and I think the only reason from a tactical perspective that they haven't settled yet is they're waiting for the decision by Judge Magnuson for sentence based on their conviction in federal court. I'm quite confident that soon after they are sentenced under federal law, they'll probably quickly plead and be done with it. I don't expect there to be a trial in this upcoming January. I think the case will be over months before that.
So they want to see what the punishment is before they know how to negotiate it.
I think they want to see what the sentence is under federal law before they do any negotiation under state law. But I don't think it's really going to matter at the end of the day. The perception is that the sentence under federal, I should say their federal conviction, they were convicted by a jury, will be 3 to 4 years, and I think I'm assuming, I don't know this for a fact, I wouldn't have any way of knowing, that they're going to receive the same offer that Lane received, which was 3 years for the second count, aiding and abetting manslaughter, Mike, and then the first count would be dismissed.
And so their total time in prison would be what?
I think it would be 3 to 4 years.
Okay.
Because those two sentences, Michael, run concurrent with each
other. Okay, that's where we all get confused, you know?
Yeah, we talked about that the last time, and you correctly noted the definition. It basically means together. You know, that's what we lawyers like to use difficult words.
You don't have to. We know you got your law degree. You don't have to try to screw us up some more. So Eric Chauvin has a couple more people that come out and they say he did. You know, obviously it didn't result in death, but it was tormenting to them. And in essence, they've got a case of PTSD of some form. Two different people have claimed this when he was the arresting officer and he used similar force. Okay.
Right.
I have two questions for you. A, if Chauvin hadn't had the George Floyd case, do these cases still have the same merit? And number two, how do you, as an attorney, prove how bad it affected you or how bad the PTSD is from a monetary standpoint?
Yeah, good question, Mike. Yeah, the fact that he's so notorious really helps the case for obvious reasons. I mean, as we've discussed before, I don't think there's any question that the Floyd case is the highest profile excessive force case in U.S. history and maybe even in world history. It's just incredible what it became. In terms of these are 1983 claims for excessive force, and some people might be wondering, these events happened back in 2017. It's a 6-year statute of limitations, so they're well within that. What it comes down to, Mike, a lot of time is medical testimony. And if they're claiming PTSD, they're going to have their medical doctors testify about that. And then the defense has the right, if they so desire, to have what's known as independent medical exams. People in the plaintiff's bar call those adverse medical exams, where a doctor will come in and give his or her opinion as to whether the injury claims of the plaintiffs are valid. So, you know, the jury has to sort that all out.
You mean the emotional injury as well?
Oh, yeah. It's understood under Minnesota law, if you're injured, it's understood that mental injury evolves from that. It's called pain and suffering and emotional distress. That's concluded as a matter of law. But you still have to prove it, you know.
Go ahead. Well, I was going to say, how does this sit with you? Is this a classic case of looking for a settlement, not a trial?
It would depend, Mike. Each case stands on its own merits. I don't know enough about them. I certainly, if I had the facts, and it really what it comes to, Mike, I used to do defense for insurance companies, and every case is different. Every case is different as people are different. Mm-hmm. The big thing I would do is I would take depositions of injured plaintiffs, and I would report to insurance company clients and say what I thought, how the people were going to fare in front of a jury, you know, and everybody's different. It's hard to know.
I see. So that was the key that you were looking for.
They could be perfectly valid, Mike, or they could be bogus. We just don't know.
Did you ever hire private eyes to catch them, like exercising at the health club, even though they said they were...
Yeah, that does happen. That's more common in workers' compensation cases, Mike. And in my practice, I only ever had one case where I utilized that type of defense, and it really worked out well. But I don't. That's kind of overstated. That does not happen as often as you think, but it does happen, you know. So
yeah, I mean, well, there's a lot at stake on that. Well, Mike, hey, appreciate it very much, and good to talk to you now. Hopefully we can grab a lunch sometime, too.
Only at True North stores, new True Rewards members stack your savings at the pump. Sign up and earn 15 cents a gallon on your first fill-up. Second fill, get 30 cents off a gallon. Then earn a massive 40 cents off a gallon on your third fill-up. Join now. This offer won't last. Find the True Rewards app in your favorite app store. Download and click the star to sign up. Must be a new member of both True Rewards and Shell Fuel Rewards to qualify. Limit 20 gallons per fill. Additional terms apply. Offer ends August 3rd. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Save up to 50% with minimum purchase at Blinds.com. And a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Save up to 50% at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Going up. Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.